place to attack them.
Oh, that's what you just.
Down the side for patients. One game should they start to run it. Say the field and turn their part of the day.
Okay, I'm on.
Not an objection, that was what you do.
Send it to me and I'll look at it. But I'll plan to be here.
No, I watched the film.
Yeah, two now, so what you guys all quiet? And then I got there Tuesday, Saturday, and seeing Mr. Wilson make the opening kick and score. But I waited till the end of the game to see if it was that day. Now there's here.
You're either stop or you're number.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the City Council meeting for October 21st. This evening will be led in prayer by Bruce Smucker. Would you stand with me, please?
Pray with me, please. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Be glad and rejoice in it. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us, mind, body, and soul. We give thanks for this day and all the days, all the things that you give us. We ask you to proceed, as we proceed, as we gather, that we grow forward in wisdom of Solomon and strength of Goliath. We ask, Father, to lead our steps, lead our speech, that we would share in kindness and in love. Be patient and considerate, leading with no judgment. We pray in this name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Smucker. Have roll call, please.
Shoup.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Aspire Jr.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Aspire Sr.
Here.
Corkman.
Here.
Thorson.
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of our minutes from our meeting October 7th. Are there any corrections or additions to those minutes? Yes, sir.
I move we approve the minutes as posted.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson.
Yes.
Aspire Jr.
Yes.
Hampshire.
Yes.
Aspire Sr.
Yes.
Corkman.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Shoup.
Yes. Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Aspiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Corkman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Aspiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report tonight either.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report here.
Okay, thank you. Transportation, Mr. Shoup.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation has no report, but I'm hoping that Kristen Ensley can give us an update on High Street. If you can't, I think I can. So I'll let you go with it.
Central Allied is starting work on the Crown Hill High Street intersection. Both sides of High Street are going to be closed at Crown Hill. There will be temporary lights will be set up on Crown Hill Road, North Crown Hill Road, to allow for two-way traffic on Crown Hill. The lights will be in place until the intersection is completed, which could take several weeks, just depending on weather.
And it's supposed to take about 10 days to 2 weeks on the concrete section, at High Street and Crown Hill. And then we will come in and start to mill the rest of High Street and hopefully have the weather to get the asphalt down in time. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I might add that Dan asked them to do the east side of that intersection in concrete first so that would dry, because the asphalt folks have to have something solid and dry to build the asphalt up against. So they're doing that first, at least to give us maybe a few days ahead of time.
Hopefully dry.
Yeah, we'll be pushing it with weather. But
yeah, dry weather.
Yeah.
But the cutoff date's kind of mid-November for the asphalt.
Usually. Yeah. And if it would stay warm enough, they would stay open.
So we're pushing it right to the max.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. To planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder that the council will have a planning committee meeting next Monday, October 28th at 7 p.m. following the utility board meeting. Council should have received a draft version of the new or revised zoning and subdivision regulations and take a look at those. It's a really good bedtime reading. But just take a look and see what you think, what you come up with, and be happy to take input from you, from council or anyone else on that evening.
Thank you. Ordinance and personnel. Mr. Orson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and personnel has not met, and we have no pending issues, and I have no report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwerk.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Real quick, before we get to Mr. Johnson here tonight, I wanted to just thank once again the Exchange Club and the VFW and our City Service Department for the work that was done on the Eagle. You got to see it tonight with the lights on, which is even a nice view too. So also wanted to thank Jarrett from Armstrong for coming down. He informed me today that he was able to filter out a lot of the truck noise that was going by when we were having our dedication service. So people watching it will probably actually be able to hear people. So that should work out real nice. So thank you for coming down for that.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Jarrett also sent me the link to the Armstrong YouTube channel, so I will be posting that on the Facebook tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. That'd be another way for people to view that then. All right. For the rest of my report tonight, I'm going to give my time to Mr. Jamie Johnson, who is here to talk to us from the U.S. Senate Bureau. Census Bureau, just to show us the importance of the census and how that's tied into an awful lot of things that are important to everyone.
Produce this information in regards to the 2020 census. My name is Jamie Johnson. I'm a partnership specialist with the United States Census Bureau, and we are less than 6 months out from 2020 Census Day. So what I'm going to do is provide you a quick briefing in regards to the 2020 census operations. Our agenda today is going to be the goal of the 2020 census, why we conducted the central census, a new design for the 21st century, and how your community can help. So, first off, the goal of the 2020 census is to count every one once, only once in the right place. Our objective is to count all persons residing in the United States of America, District of Columbia and Puerto Rico every 10 years, ending on the year of zero. So we got to provide the president a count on December 31st, every year ending in the year zero. Why do we do it? Because it's in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2 of the United States Constitution, mandates an enumeration to be made every 10 years to the president, as I stated before. The history of the United States Census. The first census was conducted in 1790 by then Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson. Our population then was roughly 3,929,000 people. And they actually conducted the census by horse and buggy. So just imagine how long that was. In 1970, the census forms were mailed to 60% of the U.S. households with a mailback feature. 1990, that's when you started doing the electronic data. And who all remembers the long form that we had with the census? That form no longer exists. Now it's a short form that's only 10 questions and only take like 10 minutes. And this year, or next year, 2020, it will be the first year you'll be able to do it online, by phone, or by mail, the traditional way. Four uses of census data: apportionment, redistricting, funding, and planning. Apportionment, as we know, are apportionment of U.S. House of Representatives each 10 years. In the year 2010, I believe we lost two seats. So we want to make sure that we have our fair share of representation. So we need to get a complete accurate count so we can keep our representation. But if our population decreases, we are at risk of losing a House rep, or we can gain a House rep if we get bigger. So we need a complete accurate count so we can have that appropriation of representatives for our community. Redistricting. After each count, the president gets the count on December 31st, 2020. By April 1st, he will provide the nation's count to each state. That's when you will start getting the legislative redistricting, congressional legislative districting, and the redistricting all come from the apportionment of your population based on if you gain population in the area, you lost it. So redistricting happens on December 31st, and then the states will receive the population count on or by April 1st of 2021. Finally, over $675 billion of federal funding is allocated to the population based on your population count, from transportation grants, free and reduced lunches, health care services, emergency services. These services are apportioned due to your population. So every 10 years, we get the count, and there are no do-overs. Once the count happens, you are stuck with that count. So stated as you have a flood emergency for your community, you solicit emergency funds from the federal government, and it's based on your decennial count, the 2020 count. So we want to make sure that we have that count because there are new do-overs, and we need to know who's in your community so you can assist in your community. Planning. Local government use census data for planning for public safety, schools, hospitals, EMS. Residents use census data for community initiatives. Real estate developers utilize census data to see where they're going to build houses or they're going to do home improvements in different areas. And businesses use census data to see where they're going to place new businesses. So it's very important that all these entities get a complete and accurate count. Our new design for the 2020 census is, first off, we're going to establish where to count and identify the addresses. We have local update census addresses. We just finished our last on-the-ground first operation in regards to address canvassing, where people were going to houses and asking, is this a single-family home? Is it a duplex? Is it a home, like a residential home, where it's like a group home and things like that? So what they were doing, people were going to homes, knocking on doors, seeing if the home changed in any way, as far as single house, duplex, or group home in that nature. We're going to motivate people to respond, so we're going to conduct the national communication plan. January 2020 is going to be census. So you're going to hear all types of media and avenues where we're going to promote census. We're going to count the population. April 1st, 2020 is census day. We're going to make sure that we collect data from all the households, and then we're going to release the census results where they can do the apportionment, redistricting, and then they can have a portion of the over $675 billion fund, billion dollars of federal funds. The road to the 2020 census, as you can see, we're possibly in the middle. August, we did an address canvassing that I just stated, and we're almost in the January. So January will be 4 months to census day. So we need to really, really be a person in our community to actually express to our community we need to get a complete, accurate count. We have 8 area census offices. This week, 2020, is National Census Recruiting Week, so we're hiring over 500,000 persons, census workers throughout the nation to work for the census. We want people from Oroville to be census workers in Oroville. We want people that know the area to actually work for the area and market the census and let people know that it is safe, easy, and important. It's safe because it's confidential and nobody can utilize your information against you. It's easy because it's only 10 minutes and less than 10 questions, and it's important because over $675 billion annually is proportioned due to your population of your community. So we're hiring census jobs. So tomorrow, me and a recruiter will be at the Oroville Library from 12 to 4, having a recruitment day where we're giving people information on how they can apply for a job. The jobs range from $13.50 to $30 an hour. It depends on what type of area you want to work. The positions are temporary and they're pretty decent paying. So if you know anybody that needs a job and wants a job, send them over to the Oroville Library tomorrow, or you can always contact me and we can provide you all with that information. When will we start mailing out census information? Around March 12th to March 24th, you will receive a paper invite to complete the census. It's going to say you can complete it online, by phone, or by mail. If you have not completed the census by April 8th, you will have already received 4 invites to complete the census. April 8th, they will send you also a paper census where you can still do it online, by phone, or by mail. By May 9th, if you have not completed the census, that's when they're going to knock on your door. So if you don't want people to get a knock at their door and, you know, ruin their day, or make sure we advocate and market that just complete the census, easy, safe, and important. Okay? So, and people who live in areas that do not have high internet accessibility, they will send them first off a paper census form the first time. So, and regardless how you get the census form, you can do it online, by phone, or by mail. So where are we going to focus at? We want to historically focus on the undercounted groups, children under the age of 5, age group 18 to 24, veterans, persons with disabilities, immigrants, seniors, non-English speaking persons, out of this group, who knows, who think they know what's the highest undercounted population in the nation? Any guess?
Children under 5.
Children under the age of 5. It's a good job, man. And he's seen his presentation probably before. Over 1 million children under the age of 5 in 2010 were not counted. So just imagine free and reduced lunches, school nurses, WIC programs, all those programs lost funding because the kids were not counted. It's not one solution, and it's not one way we know why they were not counted. So we want to make sure that we count all persons and focus on these hard-to-count, undercounted groups. Ways we can find out, ways we can find areas where they're undercounted is on census.gov, it's a response outreach area mapper where we'll provide you with a heat-sensitive map where there are areas where they are undercounted and people are not likely to be counted in your community. So here's Wayne County. As you can see, and it's probably hard to see, but the dark areas are the areas where these are the most, the places where people are not likely to self-respond to the census. And that's due to 2010 census and ACS surveys. So as you can see, the dark areas, that's where you really want to focus your outreach on telling, getting people to go count, right? So as we see Oroville, who knows the census tract 12? Do you all have a sense of the area? But in that area, over 21% of people are not likely to respond in your community. So what Rome Outreach Area Mapper does is it provides demographics and showing you like what's the demographics. Almost 15% of our population there are 65 and over. 20% of the people in the area are below the poverty area. It shows the demographics of the area. So when you find out the demographics, you want to say, okay, what community group I need to get with that has a reach on this area so we can encourage them to actually self-respond to the census and encourage them that is easy, safe, and important. Any questions if we have right here in regards to that area? And that is several census tracts in the Oroville, Wayne County area, so you would be able to in real time see what the percentage of persons not likely to count. Our information in the 2020 census are confidential. We want to emphasize that taking a census is safe, and no one can use your information against you and personally identify you by any way possible. If somebody does, the census workers take a lifetime oath. If we provide any personal identifiable information, there's a $250,000 fine or 5 years in prison. And I have 2 kids, and I don't need to be going to no prison no time soon. So the law protects people. And one thing that law enforcement, we want to make sure that you know is things that we will not do. We will never ask for your full Social Security number. A census worker will never ask for money or donations. Never ask anything as far as on behalf of a political party. We're nonpartisan, and we focus and we pride ourselves in being that, and we would never ask for full bank account statements. So if somebody calls you and says somebody just knocked at my house or knocked on my door and asked me for money in regards to the census, make sure you go to that house because it's fraudulent. But we want to make sure that the leaders in the community understand that and know because with this big operation, things like that does happen. We want to make sure we understand that self-response is easy as possible. It only takes 10 minutes. You can do it online. It's only 10 questions. And we want to make sure you can just open your phone and do it on your mobile device. Also, you can self-respond in English or 12 non-English languages. And they have print on the website where you get, and guys that are in 59 non-English languages to be provided to partnership specialists or census workers. So we want to make sure that we understand and we want the partnership specialists, we want to hire people from the area that knows the community and are part of the community and knows the language of the community. How your community can help, you can outreach, develop community support, increase population, have a census day, say we're going to do a census event. You all can have an event and have a census worker come so we can educate the community on the importance of completing the census and self-responding. Okay? Each community needs to understand the relevant factors in designing from the low response area, what areas you know that probably are not likely to respond. So what you want to do is develop a event that actually outreach and educates to the public to get them to self-respond. And one of the big things that we're trying to do and shows a great return on investment is forming a complete count committee at multiple levels. There are three phases, and the Census Bureau asks governments and organizations to set up a complete count committee. It's a volunteer organization. We usually go to the higher elected official and present to the council, and the higher elected official or council appoints a designee, and that's when they start forming a complete count committee. And there's three phases: education phase, promotional phase, and motivation phase. Here are a sample of some complete count committee memberships. Usually it's the mayor or the chair. You can have heads of chamber of commerces, directors of, say, a community outreach organization, United Way, small businesses, heads of community organization. It depends on your community and if you decide to form a complete count committee. I've been working with Wayne County. Some counties have different cities come, so in the next week or so, they'll get back with me and see if the county will have a complete count committee, and I'm sure they'll be reaching out to the different cities. Okay. All right. Contributions by a complete count committee increase the response rates through a neighbor-to-neighbor focus approach. Utilize the local knowledge and expertise to be able to influence members and people in a complete count committee to do a census awareness campaign, and members that speak the language and know the pulse of the community ensures a complete and accurate count. So ways to collaborate: invite a census worker or representative to an event like this, connect with a census representative with others in your network, encourage census participation through social media, websites, and newsletters. Form a complete count committee with the community leaders and promote temporary jobs. We are hiring. We're hiring more than 500,000 people in the nation. So we recruit. We want people from Oroville to work for Oroville. We don't want to send census workers from all over the place knocking on foreign doors. We want people that know the community to actually work for the community and provide space and things at libraries and that nature. So with that, I know it's kind of rushed, but if you all have any questions, feel free to ask. We want to just thank you all for allowing us to provide information in regards to this important outreach and this undertaking, and we're looking forward to working with the city of Oroville as much as possible. Yes, sir?
Yeah, you mentioned you guys are hiring quite a few workers for local. So can you, I know it's probably multiple positions, but can you just give a general, what are the minimum qualifications, what are the preferred qualifications?
The minimum qualifications, you got to be 18 years of age, you got to pass a background check, right? You got to have be a U.S. citizen and a valid social security number. So it's a broad range, so you can be a enumerator. You can be a data specialist that works in the data field with the operations part, or you can be something like a partnership specialist. And I think we have to have a bachelor's degree. It depends on the different jobs that's on the website. So we're hiring, and jobs are coming up daily. So you can go on 2020census/jobs, or you can go to usajobs.gov, and it's all different opportunities for census employees.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
How soon do those jobs begin?
Some jobs may start in the next month. We have recruiters. We're looking for recruiters to recruit in the area. I know in January 20, that's when they're going to start doing going to the different facilities and doing facilities count and going to like the group homes and things. That's when it's really going to start the big outreach to the community. So January 2020 is when we're going to have the big undertaking, but they're hiring up to then, and by March, that's when you're probably going to have so many jobs. And what they do is they train, they hire, you get trained online, you get sent, they provide you with a portable device, a laptop and a phone. They train you via online, and then they send you like neighborhoods where you need to go and outreach to the communities, or different addresses where you give your spiel that you were trained on to actually ask the question that's needed to get a complete accurate count. Yes, sir.
Appreciate you sharing some bullets on looking, identifying fraudulent.
Okay.
Would there ever be a situation, you had two bullet points up there that said we would never ask for your full social security number, full credit card number, and full account number. Okay. Is there a situation where you would ask for that partiality?
Partial, like ACS data, or ACS might go to businesses and ask for just for like demographics as far as financial records, and ACS survey would ask something like that. So one thing we got to understand, that they're sending out the ACS survey around the same time as the census form, and that's what substituted the long form, right? So they ask maybe 70 questions. So they might ask, you know, what's the last, you know, four of your bank account number, you know, something like that. But usually, as far as the census, 2020 census, decennial census, you're not going to get asked that information.
Okay. Thank
you. Yes, sir.
Could you mention one more time the times that you'll be at the library tonight?
I will be at the library at 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. If you, the city of Oroville, think like we can bring him back, or we can have a recruiter and set up another day, we're at your discretion. We're coming to partner with you. We're forming a relationship, so you all can shape your future and get the best return on investment on people actually doing their civic duty of counting themselves. So. Yes, sir.
How many people will be required for a community of our size?
Respect to what, as far as what working?
Yes, how many people will be hired by the Census Bureau to represent?
It depends on the operations, our partnership, and I'm not expert on that. I go to the highest elected officials. The operation has a strategy where if it's places, a high number of areas that's low response area, based on the count and based on the population from that did not get counted in the past, they will provide a number in that area to see, like, to strategize the number higher in that area to go and go door to door and actually get hired in the area. So I don't have that formula, but I can provide that information at a later time if possible. I can provide it to you or the mayor to see if it's a strategy or something. So I'll be working with the recruiter tomorrow, and I will get that information from him because that's his expert field. So I can do that. Did I answer a little bit?
Well, you could.
Yes. Okay.
Jamie, just one final thing here before we get back into our council meeting. I think the thing that puts this in perspective the most for me is if you're a parent of that five-year-old and you decide not to bother counting them, they don't get a chance to be counted again until they're 15.
10 years.
If the money coming to this area is based on the number of people we have, that person's going to be out for 10 years if you don't count them. So that's important.
All right, so parks, Title 11, free or reduced lunches, just 14-year-old, what facilities and what resources does he use in the community from 4 to 14? So we got to make sure that we do our due diligence to educate the parents, because a lot of times it's the grandparents or that don't know. Any person that's on your couch and does not have a permanent resident on April 1st and they're at your home, you need to count them in your home, okay? Because they need to be counted somewhere. We need to have a complete and accurate count, because if they're not counted at your home, when will they get counted? So that's why we have a benchmark of April 1st, 2020. So we look for all different communities to have a census marketing day, promotion day. It's April 1st, it's census day. Make sure you count, you know, because you need to be represented and you need to be able to shape your future by getting a complete and accurate count.
Thank you very much.
All right, I want to thank you all for your time, and I hope this was informative. If you have any more questions, feel free to contact me. I will be around. I'm working Wayne County, Stark County, and Tuscarora and Medina County. So I'll be all up in the area. So thank you so much, and you all have a wonderful day.
How do you have kids that are away at college?
Okay.
Count at your home?
No, if they're living on the dorm, they count at the dorm.
Okay. So my daughter's going to be in the Czech Republic.
So, but if she's away on official news,
yes, to encounter. I mean, she won't be available to answer.
Yeah, but you would count. Or if, yeah, right. Or if she is on in college.
Yeah. Are you sticking around through the rest of the meeting?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Then,
okay. I just want to know if you can email me something that I.
Yes, I will email that to you right now. Yeah. So they will counteract that there are more than 6 months of the year. Yeah, so we'll be working with the college.
Alright.
So some way to
work. That's kind of a weird.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
How do we shut that?
Seeing the spots.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a circle on the face?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Right,
Mayor, do you have more for us this evening?
No, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Right, thank you.
Well, Tom Ruth, representing our safety service director this evening, is Mrs. Oh my golly, I keep calling you Kristen. Mrs. Ensley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few housekeeping items. Just a reminder that the compost center is open 3 more days this season. So it'll be open Wednesday, October 23rd, Saturday, October 26th, and then Wednesday, October 30th, and then it will be closed for the season. Citywide trick-or-treat is scheduled for Wednesday, October 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you'd like to participate, please leave your porch light on. And leaf pickup will begin November 4th through the 15th in the South End. The service department will be in the north end from November 18th to the 27th. And then final pass for the whole city is scheduled for December 2nd through the 13th. And if you're not sure if you're in the north or south end, there are maps on our website at orville.com. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move to our utilities director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do have a couple of resolutions under new business tonight. The only other item I have is just a reminder about the natural gas aggregation program. If any customers are interested in changing, you have until October 31st to do that. Just a reminder, if you're currently under the city's aggregation program and you do not want to make a change, those prices are still fixed for this coming year. And you can, with the city's program, you can change in and out of that program anytime you like, so you're not bound by that deadline. There are no termination fees. But if you're going with another supplier, you need to read into those particular details. Most of them do have switching fees there. But if you're looking at changing your natural gas provider from the prior season, you have until the end of this month. And if you have any questions on who your provider is, they are listed on your Dominion natural gas bill. If you have any other questions on the program, feel free to call our office and we'll walk you through that. And the only other item is I did send out an email today with an update on House Bill 6. The commercials are still on TV. There's two different groups, a group promoting the bill as it exists today and another group that's in opposition to that. They were in the process of collecting signatures to maybe possibly repeal that bill next year. The email that I sent out today indicated that they did not collect the required number of signatures. However, they are asking the judge for an extension of that. Otherwise, the impacts of that bill go into effect tomorrow. Other than that, that's all the questions or comments I have tonight.
Thank you. We'll move to our finance director, Ms. Grimmel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have just a few items this evening. In November, I'll be bringing several pieces of legislation for your approval that I just wanted to make you aware of. The first will be an amendment to the 2019 appropriations. There are some housekeeping amendments, as well as an appropriation addition for a line feeder for the water utility, two line feeders for the water utility. The utility director has legislation on the agenda this evening to enter into a contract for those feeders. The other item coming up in November is the temporary appropriations for 2020. I provided council with the listing of the pertinent dates associated with that piece of legislation. If you recall, we do not have a workshop for temporary appropriations, and I don't anticipate any significant changes from the 2020 budget that we reviewed in June. The last item this evening I would have is the fund balance sheet for the period ending September 30th, 2019, and I would just ask for a motion to approve that report subject to audit.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Warson.
Ms. Barris Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Barris Sr.?
Yes.
Borkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes. Thank you. That's all that you needed
to
see.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll move to our loan director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. And I also have no report this evening. We have no old business this evening, so we will move to new business. Mr. Orson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 4119. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Barris Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Barris Jr.?
Yes.
Resolution 4119, a resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities of the City of Orville, Ohio, to enter into a contract without bidding for the purchase of two line feeder systems for the water utility.
Okay, Mr. Brediger, any information for that?
Yeah, a little bit. I did send out a memo on October 15th describing what we're doing here. The line feeder's purpose in life is basically to soften the water. We had budgeted to replace one of those in 2019 and the other one in 2020 as part of our due diligence, talking with the manufacturers. We have the opportunity to purchase both of those this year, and we can save ourselves roughly $43,000 by buying both of those at the same time. So we felt that that opportunity was too big to pass up. And I'll just stop there and answer any kind of questions that you have there. Again, I did mention we just have one of those budgeted and appropriated for this year. The changes in the appropriations that Ms. Strickland just mentioned earlier will be one of those modifications that we'll be making to later on this fall, is to roll that second feeder into our expenditures in 2019, and we do not need this this legislation passed tonight. One other thing, just give you an idea, these feeder systems are roughly about $146,000 a piece.
Do you have a question, Mr. Carpenter?
No, I have questions of statement. They are normal pieces of equipment that have a lifetime, and they are coming to the end of their lifetime. So this is nothing out of the ordinary. We don't need it tonight. We can be aware to move forward to get that equipment.
Anyone else? Mr. Larson.
I presume it's not like a new vehicle situation where the technology of next year's feeder isn't going to be better than this year's
feeder.
They
have some new control features. Most of it is in materials upgrade, so we can get a little bit longer life out of these.
Okay. But buying two this year isn't going to shortchange us technology-wise?
No. Okay. That is fairly basic sort of equipment. Better materials, the controls are a little bit more adaptable.
Okay.
They'll integrate better into our existing control system, but we will not lose out anything in that 1 year period.
Yeah.
Our maintenance crews will be doing all the installation work for these.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the replacement improvement funding, is that the funding is there in the current budget this year, we're having to move funds with that appropriation for the second unit, is that correct?
I'm going to add for the second unit.
And is that coming out of the reserve fund?
The second unit will come out of the replacement and improvement fund.
Okay.
Which we did not have budgeted this year.
That's the addition.
That's the only change.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We have the funds there, we just didn't appropriate those funds.
We didn't anticipate getting two until we had it.
Okay. $43,000, that's significant.
That's worth doing this. And we'll install, we'll end up installing both of them next year.
Okay, good.
Anyone else?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Espira Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
I move resolution 4119 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Resolution 4219. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Resolution 4219, a resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to enter into a contract without bidding for the purchase of one 41-foot distribution bucket truck and declaring an emergency.
Hey, Mr. Brettington.
A little bit of background on this. This was a truck that we were originally planning on bidding and purchasing in 2020. However, due to a failure on one of our boom units on one of our existing trucks, we ended up grounding that truck last month. That truck was previously put on order at the first of the year. We were expecting delivery on that this month. That delivery has now been pushed out another 4 or 5 months from the manufacturer. So right now we're running a truck short. What we want to do is just get this one on order, we're not in a short situation right now. This truck is estimated at roughly about $170,000. It's one of the smaller, more universal trucks that we use. Again, it was something we budgeted for. We have the funding available out of our capital fund account right now. We will not be spending a lot of the engineering dollars for the second transmission line that we had earmarked to spend in 2019, and we'll shift those dollars, assuming this legislation is passed tonight, that will allow us to enter into a contract to get this one on order, which may have an upwards of 14 to 16 month lead time on these trucks. There's only two manufacturers out there in the industry, and they have been backlogged the past couple years. As I mentioned, when we ordered the larger truck in January, they told us to expect 9 to 10 months, and they've just about, we're almost going to double that by the time that truck shows up late spring. The condition we're in right now doesn't impact any of our service. We're scheduling to work around. Some of the crews are doubling up a little bit, so barring anything kind of unforeseen, some big natural disaster where we need to have crew assigned to the trucks just to be more efficient. We're not going to miss this other than just the overlapping time that we want to try to gain a couple months by getting this thing on order at the balance of the end of this year as opposed to waiting till January. And I'll take any questions that you have on that.
Mr. Morris.
So is the proposed new truck coming from the same manufacturer as the existing truck?
We don't know yet. We're in the process of getting those bids. It's possible that it could be coming from those. Irregardless of who they come from, we're looking at about roughly the same price. We're looking at about the same lead times on them. We may, because of the current contractor extending this delivery out without us being aware of it, we may be looking at modifying some of our language in there that imposes some penalties in there if they go beyond a reasonable date. Had we known this was going to be a potential issue for us, we would have maybe had some other backup plans in mind there. And we always have access to other trucks. For some reason, a big job pops up, we'll just go out temporarily, rep one for a while. But again, this, on a day-to-day basis, this won't have any impact on us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask it. Will the shifting of the engineering cost for the transmission line jeopardize any service to the community or the project for that line?
No, because it's just been, we're actually going to have some discussion at next Monday night's utility board meeting on moving forward with that project. That has drug out on time just due to a lot of federal regulations and uncertainties that have just kind of come into light lately, so we've kind of blown the dust off of that project, so to speak. We met with our state association, AMP, who is a viable player on this, and AEP, to refresh some of those prices and look at some of those options. And we'll be coming to the board with a recommendation from our consultant to move forward. we were originally expected to be making these decisions last spring, but again, just a lot of delays on the federal side that kept us out of making those commitments going forward. Irregardless of when we start, we're still 3.5-4 years out on this line.
Okay.
But fortunately for us, this time, even though we haven't really been able to progress that project any further, it is going to save us a lot of money. It's going to save us a lot of money. And we did not have some of those savings, and we didn't have some of the flexibilities that we will be discussing with the board 6 months ago when we were just about ready to pick a lane on that. So time is working out for us in a number of good areas.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
I move resolution 4219 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Shoup.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
That completes our old business for this evening. Anyone have anything for the good of the order tonight? Same time. I'm looking for a motion.
Okay.
It's a stalemate. I move we adjourn.
Thank you. And second, Mr. Morrison.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting tonight. We're now adjourned.
I'd say we probably really bumped that number quite a bit. Get most of the information if we have some cats.